Jackie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. We just mentioned some of the economic imperatives there, but perhaps you could explain to us a little bit more. Why is the Indonesian government proposing this idea?
That's a great question. I think most people are understanding this question as a problem of, the kind of blight of Jakarta. There's flooding, there's traffic issues, and these issues are really slowing down getting work done in the capital. I mean, if you go to Jakarta, you expect to spend 2 to 3 to 4 hours a day just trafficking between sites in order to get your job done. And so this has been an ongoing problem in Jakarta. And so there's this sense that, look, you know, the capital is too full and we need to move. I think, though, that there are underlying dynamics going on here that are not being picked up. Under the previous governor of Jakarta, who was lockstep with the president, there was an attempt to clean up the canals and build a giant seawall, which would address some of these flooding problems. That attempt, that initiative, was scuppered for various reasons, in part because it required mass displacement of poor people. They expected to move 50,000 poor people a year into low-income social housing. And this became an election issue in 2017, and Jokowi's preferred governor was deposed and replaced with a really populist Islamist governor who has said that this seawall is not going to go forth. So I think we need to understand the moving of the capital within this longer lineage of politics, wherein Jokowi made an attempt, I think, to resolve some of the key questions of Jakarta's flooding. These were scuppered by populist politics, and now he's decided, well, you know, let's move.
In terms of the word displacement there, I mean, two sort of aspects in terms of displacement. One, I imagine moving the capital is going to mean a great deal of people displaced as they will have to move with it. And two, it's not really going to solve all those flooding issues. You know, okay, you may solve a bunch of issues regarding the capital, but it's not really going to solve the issues for those left behind in Jakarta. So what kind of impact would moving the capital actually have on, you know, various aspects of Indonesia's societal, economic, political life?
I think that's a really good point. And I think if there's been any opposition to the plan, it's been from Jakarta saying, you know, what, you're abandoning us. What, you've decided that the problems are too hard, and so you're just going to move the capital. And so, you know, political elites, bureaucratic elites, economic elites will be shuffled off to this new capital, and Jakarta will be left to sink. I mean, Jakarta is one of the fastest sinking cities in the world. There are places in Jakarta that over the last 50 years have sunk over 4 metres. And there's speculation that, well, modelling shows that by 2025, 30% of North Jakarta will be underwater. So there's a sense that he's really abandoning the problems of the capital. In terms of, you know, continuing that theme of displacement, the place that they've plumped for is central Kalimantan, Palangkaraya, which is a beautiful small city. It's the home of the orangutans. If you want to take your children to see orangutans, this is where you go. Jokowi's planning minister, Bambang Brojonegoro, has suggested they need 40,000 hectares of land to build this new capital. So it's not, and I think they're imagining Borneo, this pristine rainforest, as a place of empty land, probably much the way that Australia has been imagined to be. But in fact, it's the home of the dyaks and of the world's lungs. So you're going to imagine that there's going to be a lot of displacement wherever the new capital is also going to be placed.
Have we seen much public reaction to that? I mean, not just in Jakarta, but also in this area they're proposing to move to?
Not so much, because it's very thinly populated. It's not that connected. It's certainly the place that the majority of majority of Indonesians seem to think is a great idea for where the new capital should go. Again, because I think there's this image of it being empty land, unutilized land, and so the idea that we could build a capital there would be free of the flooding and of the earthquakes and of potential for tsunami. This is very attractive for the majority of Indonesian citizens. But again, I think understanding central Kalimantan or anywhere as empty and was free of these kind of, the kinds of conflicts that he saw back in Jakarta when he tried to fix, you know, the problems of Jakarta. I think that's a major misstep.
And the Indonesian election, we were only just talking about the Indonesian election. We're still talking about the Indonesian election. With the presidential elections having just occurred and counting still taking place, both candidates claiming victory, are we likely to see any further developments on this in the near future, given this is a very, very, very big project they are proposing?
That's a great question. You know, much like in 2014, we have Prabowo Subianto, who is Jokowi's challenging presidential candidate, suggesting that something has gone wrong with the election. His polling suggests that he has won the 60% majority and that he is contesting the election results. That seems to, I think, been anticipated by the Jokowi administration. And we've seen the state apparatus kind of clamp down quite quickly on these kinds of attempts to mobilise Prabowo's supporters in support of his election. Mm. And so I think the government had really suitably anticipated these moves from Prabowo, and in many ways it was a sort of obvious claim that he might make, that, you know, the elections were illegitimate, he really won, all these sorts of things. And so Prabowo is standing there banging on about how he's, you know, these great injustices that have happened to him, whilst Jokowi is looking like he's really moving forward. You know, these great plans for a new capital. He's just ignoring Prabowo, and I think it's very effective.
Mm. Well, Jackie, do appreciate you joining us this morning. It's an intriguing one. Appreciate you giving us a bit of insight.
Thanks very much for having me.